Okay, welcome everybody to the Money, Power, and Influence podcast. This is BC, Brian Casella. I'm here with my partner, my mentor, my friend, Arash. Today is going to be our third episode, so I wanted to say hi to him and we'll jump right into it. Arash, how are you, brother?
I'm doing well, brother. I'm recovering from Las Vegas. Whenever I sleep after 4:30 or 5 a.m., I have this thing where it's a major recovery cycle for me, so I'm going through that. But outside of that, I've had a tremendous amount of new realizations as I'm tackling a new issue of the human, what would you call it, the human condition. I embarked on it about 3 weeks ago, and the insights that are coming is unreal, and I announced to my girlfriends this morning, last night and again this morning, I said, I think this riddle is about to be solved. So I'm right on the edge of that. I'm feeling real good and at the same time real tired. How are you about it?
Awesome, yeah. I can't wait to hear about it. I know we, for everybody who's on the call who doesn't know, we were in Vegas for a week for initiation, 3 days in the desert, 4 days in Las Vegas. The AVN was there. It was really quite an experience. I spoke, Arash spoke, Vince was there, Frank, Kevin the Pimp. I mean, we had an all-star cast there. It was really, really exciting. So today, as the questions come in, I've been noticing so far we've been getting a lot more questions and engagement on the influence side. So I thought we could dive a little bit deeper into influence today, persuasion, and give the listeners a little bit more. I know a lot of the people who are on the podcast either are just beginning in sales or they themselves would like to increase their ability to persuade and have more influence on the people around them and their customers. So I wanted to just bring up a few things, go back and forth with you, Arash, and then we can get to two or three questions that I got, and then we'll get to the questions live. So I've been getting asked a lot of questions about just the basics, like what are some baseline things that one should know and apply when they are beginning a sales job or they just want to have a little bit more influence to the people around them. And I wanted to touch a little bit, and then I'll pass it to you, Arash. When it comes to the basics, we have so much out there. I mean, there's books out there, you know, from Tony Robbins, Jim Rohn, all these other guys that we've heard of. And when I started studying these guys and doing my own research and just getting out in the field, what I learned from them were even the basic datums were very powerful. I soon realized after learning that, in general, people out there, they like people that are like them. You know, when you go out and let's say you meet somebody or you're running pickup or whatever it is, when you meet somebody who is like you, there's almost instantly a connection there, and you're a lot more likely to engage with that person, feel more comfortable with them in an exchange and a dialogue. And a lot of the stuff that I teach people boils down to some fundamentals, you know, mirroring and matching, you know, mirroring and matching people's body language, their tonality, their rate of speech, very basic things like that. And when we dive a little bit into the sales side, I always preach to my students and people who watch me to ask very open-ended questions. Even when I am picking up and I'm out in the world, I tend to ask very open-ended questions because that will get you the information you need and get the person talking. I follow what's called the 80-20 rule, especially when I'm selling. I only want to speak about 20% of the time. I don't want the prospect or the customer to be speaking to me. And at the same time, I'm downloading in my brain everything because in the process, we qualify. And as we get deeper into these podcasts, we're going to give you guys more information. But before I pass it to Arash, I wanted to speak about this one word. Now, when you really want to influence people on a higher level and persuade, there's one element that I feel that a lot of people are missing when they communicate, and that's empathy. You have to download into the other person's brain that's in front of you or over the phone that you actually care about them, their situation, their needs, and you can actually help them get what it is that they want to get. If you can convey empathy, which I know one personality type does this very well naturally, that, to me, is one of the most potent and powerful tools of persuasion. So, Arash, I'll pass it to you if you'd like to add to that, and I'd like to get your take on that.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with everything you're saying. And I do recall, as you were talking, I had a very specific moment of Tony Robbins. Saying people like people like themselves, and I remember that clearly when I was studying him. In regards to what I think is one of the most important factors in influencing people, and this is what's becoming more and more apparent to me. When we were in Las Vegas, you know, as people should know, I'm a very high-level seduction artist on the planet, and this is one of the things that I do. So we were out, and I was creating some incredible effects with beautiful women. And at some point, I brought two women to our table, and one of them was actually quite famous, we found out later. And I told my students, my guys, I said, go ahead and ask any question in front of them about me talking to them and picking them up, which was quite shocking for everyone, but I had promised that was going to happen. So for all listeners, you should know, the way that I teach relationships and pick up is there's no lying, there's no manipulating, there's just the truth and knowing how to deliver a great conversation and understanding the psychology of the female and the male and the dynamics of the two. So it allows me to do things like this, and the students kind of looked around and looked at each other. I said, go ahead and ask. And what had happened was the woman that I was talking to, her friend was also beautiful, had come up, and at some point both of them had a high interest in me, and I had brought both of them. And they asked the friend, they said, why did you keep talking to him, and why were you so into him? As the conversation opened up, they were asking all kinds of things. And she said, what I'm about to tell you guys, she said, I could tell he was really listening. Now, this is key. If you want to influence people, you have to learn to listen. I cannot overemphasize the importance of learning to listen and not just pretending like you're listening or listening just so that ABC, but genuinely listening. Now, for myself, in regards to, as I said, resolving this riddle, this issue that I see plaguing the human mind, you could say, one of the keys I've found to loosen this problem actually has to do with truly listening, which makes it fascinating. Because I was already a great listener, but now I love listening. Now, get this. I actually love listening to people. And so I see that my ability to influence them has increased dramatically. So you must sit there in front of your client, your customer, your ally, your network, whatever it is, and listen to them. Because in them talking to you and you knowing how to listen, you will find all the answers you need to provide them with the solution that they're seeking. And when you can do that, you can sell anything. So that's what I got to say about that.
That's awesome. You know, I hope everybody heard that. He said he loves to listen. And that's his focus when he goes in there. And that is very powerful. I wanted to highlight that because I love the way he said that, love listening. So all of you out there listening to this, when you're going to make your next call, when you talk to your allies or anybody else, have that. That's a phenomenal mantra to have before you pick up the phone or knock on the door. I love listening. That's going to put you on a completely different level. I wanted to shift a little bit, and something I see, we might have touched on it a little bit before on a previous podcast, is, and I see this rampant, and I get a lot of questions regarding this too, is they're like, well, Brian, or they approach somebody and they say, I really need to make money. I got this sales job. I have to, you know, pay my bills, so forth and so forth. So there's an element of neediness in their being, in their communication, in their thought process. And I'm always asked, you know, how can we get rid of that? You know, I do need this paycheck. I do need this sale to go through so I can pay my mortgage. And one of the first things I tell people is for you to really embody that neediness, you have to be 100% focused on yourself because you're worried about the bill, this, that, oh my God, I. So the first thing I tell people is, look, you have a product, you have a service, you're going to sell it. You must, before you pick up the phone, knock on the door, you have to flip it. It's now going to become about them. When I do anything and I communicate with people, especially on the sales side, it becomes about them. Everything is for them. Arash said it just now. We provide the solution, everything that comes out of my communication, the whole focus is I want to detect this person, this prospect's problem, and I want to offer them the solution and basically demonstrate to them that I am the way for them to get that solution. And when you are thinking to yourself and you create that neediness of, oh, I need this, I need that, a simple switch you can also do with your language, especially when you speak to people to make it that much more powerful, is I inject words like we, us, together, as a team. I say you, Y-O-U, like I'm speaking about the customer, you. I use these words because I want to create harmony, not disharmony. And when you give off this neediness, you repel people. I want to pull people in and attract them like a magnet. I want to eliminate anything, whether it's in my language, body language, or in my thought process, that's going to push people away. You have anything to add to that, Arash?
Yeah, absolutely. Because I can tell you that, this is great. Think of it like this, because you don't even have to fake it. You see, what's happening here is my practice and my research has taken it to the point where if you are trying to do it, you're failing. We've heard this before. It's very Zen, very Taoist. But I have the actual reason why this works. And I'll give you an example.
Right.
Based on what was just said, many of you might try to be about the customer. You're like, okay, I don't want to sound needy. I don't want to blah, blah, blah. So I'm going to, and you go through this mental gymnastics of trying to, basically, with effort, be about the customer or client. But I'm going to give you what I call Diamond Mind. That's my program, by the way. You guys should get on Diamond Mind. Go to arisethepower.com. It's $97 a month, and this is the stuff you get. In fact, I just finished the video. I'm typing it right now. Here's the Diamond Mind way, and here's the way where it's going to become effortless, because I'm going to show you. See, you approach the client with an objective to sell them something, or you approach a woman or a man with the intention to have some kind of a relationship with them or experience. That's what you're approaching them for. Watch this. Prior to approaching, you are you. It's just you walking up, and you're going to walk up to the door, or you're going to do a cold call, or whatever you do. That's you. The moment you get in contact with them, what you're trying to accomplish actually is a we. This is not a made-up theory. This is like you want to become a we, not an I. A relationship is not I. A relationship is us. A relationship is we, right? Brian and I, we have a podcast. It's not my podcast. It's our podcast. So prior to the podcast, I have my other podcast that I do, or some other podcast that I do with others. And he has his own products that he has. But the moment that Brian and I come together, it's our podcast. So, which means that I must, in my communication with him about this subject, I must communicate as us to create our podcast. So when you approach the client or the woman or the guy or whatever, you cannot no longer be in the state of I, and you have to, because that is actually what you're creating. You're creating a relationship. You must immediately begin to communicate the team, the togetherness, the relationship, and so your language must change, because by virtue of you plus them is you too, you must change the language. And when you change the language, what happens? The mind changes. So I don't know. I've never explained this, but as you were talking, I was getting this, that this is the mechanics of it. So if that makes sense, then that's great. Then something's going to click in your mind, and it's going to be very easy. The next time you call or approach, it's not about you anymore. It's about you guys. It's about you and them. So you must keep them in mind, because that's actually what you're trying to do. If you walk away as just you, you didn't take their money and they didn't take your product. But if you walk away and they took your product and you took their money, now there's the you guys. You know each other now. You have a relationship, and you must always keep your relationship with your clients. This is one of the biggest secrets, okay? A client is a client for life. It's a friend for life. It's not a one-time sale. The difference between extremely successful people, and, you know, okay, well, doing well, okay people are the difference. Like, you know, how many times have you bought an iPhone? How many Apple products do you have? I'm telling you, I'm sitting in front of a Mac right now, and I'm on an iPhone in my hand, and I have a brand new iPhone that I haven't used yet. Well, I have a return. They have a relationship with me. We keep relating to each other. So, yeah, that's it. That's what I got to say on that.
Awesome. I love you said that. And something I preach, especially with that last piece that Arash mentioned, is I call it CLV. What is a client's lifetime value? If I sell somebody one house and then I never talk to them again versus keeping that relationship, making it better, making it stronger, and I end up selling them 10 houses over 12 years, do the math. That's a client's lifetime value. Now, one of the final things I wanted to touch on that, and this obviously everybody knows this, right, but we see so little focus on it. I tell people, look, if you want to get better at persuading an individual or group or whatever it is or influencing them, you have to get out there and take action. You have to talk to people, speak with them, communicate. The more I look around, the more I see people my age, older, younger, everybody's on their phone now. Everything is text. Everything is blog. People are getting away from just flat out communicating, and now it's seen as a superpower. If you can effectively connect with somebody, influence them, persuade them, and get what you want, or help them get their solution, which is buy your product or service, right? And we forget that it's through sales, basically persuading and influencing, that we keep this economy going. Entrepreneurship, the ability to sell, is really what makes America America. We forget that. And the biggest thing that helped me when I started, when I really wanted to get very, very skilled at this and master it, was the fact that I was just flat out talking to so many people. Now, I don't know if all of you on this call have heard this model. There's basically, and I know it's explained different ways, there's basically four levels to understanding and mastering something. You have unconscious incompetence, meaning you're doing something wrong, but you don't know you're doing it wrong yet. You have a step above that, which is now conscious incompetence, meaning you're doing something wrong, but at least now you're aware that there's an error or you're doing something incorrectly. The next step above that is now conscious competence, meaning, okay, I'm getting the hang of this, I can do it, but I have to be very focused and put all my attention on it, and I still have to kind of work at it. Now, lastly, you get to unconscious competence, meaning you do it, it's a part of you, and now it's natural. Now, the quickest way to scale that is to talk to a lot of people. I remember when I started in real estate, we would have meetings at my office. I started with the Century 21 office over here in Downey, over here in Southern California, and we would get together some of the newer agents or people who had been in the business, I think it was like 2 years and less, and every Monday we had to report the previous week's numbers. So we'd get up there and you had to report, you know, how many sales appointments you set, how many leads you got, and then ultimately how many contacts you made, meaning how many adults you spoke to about buying or selling real estate. And, you know, everybody would go up and the average person would go up and say, oh, you know, 10 contacts, 5 contacts, 15 contacts in a week. And then, you know, one other person's like, oh, I did 45. And then I always remember I would step up and every week it was 250, 300, 350, 275. I never had a week where I talked to less than 250 people. Now, over time, I started creating this gap, and this is something that a lot of people don't realize, is if I'm talking to 250 people every day, and they're talking to, or every week, and they're talking to 10, imagine what that's going to do. I mean, you could put me up against somebody who's talking to 10 people every day or every week versus me, and that other person can have more talent than me. But the fact that I'm talking to so many more people than them and implementing all these steps and basics and fundamentals, I'm sure you can see what's going to happen after a month, 2 months, and 3 months, and that's exactly what happened. I went from a nobody to being on the top 10 in the company within months. I think it was like 6 or 7 months later, I was already in the top like 7 or something like that in a business where supposedly that's impossible. So it was the massive action that ultimately put me through. I took the material from Arash, Tony Robbins, and these other guys, and I started implementing it. And if you look and you know, bump elbows with anybody who's at the top that is definitely one of the prevailing datums you're going to see, is that they flat out did more than anybody else. We all have the same 24 hours, so what are you going to do? And it's this massive action that really is going to help you, because I could give you every single technique. Arash could give you every single technique he has. We could give it to you on a silver platter, but if you don't use it and you're not constantly using it, then you're not really going to get anywhere. What do you think, Arash?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that another one of these key datums for success is, again, as I'm about to say the words, I think they're coming from Tony Robbins, so we have to give credit where credit is due. I think it's him that says the word massive action, you know? So you got to take massive action. You could sit there and think and think and think and do whatever you want to do, but, you know, if you're making 250 calls versus 10 calls, and we just do the math in 7 days, you know, you're looking at 1,750, 1,750 people contacted versus 70 people. 1,750 people in 7 days versus 70. Okay, now just by virtue of just rolling the dice, the person with 1750 should be winning unless they're a complete retard, which is not going to happen because a retard wouldn't do that amount of work. So we're already assuming the person who's putting in that much work is more ambitious, more intelligent. And this is what they say: when it rains, it pours. Or rich people keep getting richer and the poor keep getting poorer. Well, because the poor people keep doing poor activities and they have poor judgment and they have poor values. And rich people, to become rich, unless, I mean, maybe they were born in it, but that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about hard work, ambition, focus. And it takes time, you know? I mean, okay, hold on. Let me take that out. Maybe it doesn't take time. I've always questioned that. I've always questioned why it took me so long when suddenly I changed my condition so fast. So I'm going to take that back, okay? False. I'm not going to sit here and work it out for myself right now because it's no longer necessary. I have what I want in life when it comes to monetary, and I'm building. But I do question whether it should have taken so much time. Back to what we were talking about is you could have – okay, so I just did my 81st, I think, Diamond Mine video. And it's funny you said that because I was actually thinking about it. And somebody had messaged me today, and they had said some question like, hey, I have this issue with blah, 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 and do you have any suggestions? I assumed the person was not on my Diamond Mine program. So I normally say, are you on Diamond Mine? They're normally saying no. I said, well, then that's restart, okay? And then that's the end of the conversation. So I go, are you on my Diamond Mine? He said, yes. And I said, wait, and you still can't resolve this issue? I mean, this is like a baby issue to me. And he came back about 2 hours later. He said, you know, I went back and yes, the answer is in there. The answer has to be applied. You can look at the equation on the board forever, but you got to walk up and write what the answer of 2 + 2 is. Otherwise, it's still an unsolved equation. Even though you know the answer, if a teacher writes 2 + 2 on the board and that 2 + 2 stays on the board and everyone says, I know that. You have to get up there and solve the issue. And so whatever it is you're learning right now, from anybody, it doesn't matter. You know, I learn from my dog sometimes. You have to go and plug in the answer to your life to see how the answer, whether or not it is the right answer, because if it is, it resolves the equation. So, yeah, exactly. You got to put in the work, you got to put in the time, and you got to take massive action.
Awesome. So I have been getting questions. I want to start going over one or two of them. Again, if anybody on the call, you're muted for now. Only me and Arash are unmuted just for noise purposes. Press *2 to raise your hand, and we'll get to your question. I have two that I've gotten so far, and we're going to get to those. So the first question that I got, and I can answer, then I'll pass it to Arash, is somebody said, well, what do I do in a sales situation when somebody says, I want to think about it, or I want to sleep on it? You know, that's a typical objection you get. And the first reframe I want to give you guys is when you get or when you receive an objection, number one, don't let it throw you off. But more importantly, take it as a positive sign. You know, an objection is just an unanswered question that somebody has. And they're basically extending their hand almost to shake your hand. But they're saying, you know what, I'm ready to do a deal with you. I'm ready to buy your product and your service. I just need this question answered. So instead of being like the average person who gets thrown off and frustrated when they get an objection, I get excited. And I'm like, okay, this guy wants to work with me. We just have a little issue right here. We just have a little challenge that we need to get past, a little obstacle, boom, we got it, we're done. Now, what I use typically that works very, very well against this objection, I want to think about it, because I want to think about it, guys, as it's like a smoke screen, right? There's something hidden there. They're just throwing it out because they're nice. They don't want to make you feel bad. So instead of them saying, hey, Bob, I think you're too expensive, they're going to say, I want to think about it. Now, the method I use is called the deduction approach. So they say it. I'm like, you know what? That makes sense. This is the language that I use. Because I'm in real estate, I'm going to give you that reference. Now, I would say, Mr. Seller, would you agree with me that when it comes down to the decision to sell your home, we're basically looking at three things. Number one, if you've decided to sell. Number two, the price we've determined. And most importantly, number three, who you'd like to represent you. Are you following me? They're going to agree to you on that. Now, by them agreeing, now I've created this box of just three agreements. If I can get them to say yes to these three things, I'm in. So I ask them the questions. Have you decided to sell? They say yes. The price? They say yes. And obviously, most importantly, who would like to represent you? Do you feel comfortable and confident with me that I can get the home sold? Now, in those three questions, the objection is going to come out. If they're like, if you ask them the price, are we in agreement? No, it's the price. Boom. Now you can tackle that objection. Cool. So the deduction approach is something I use, Arash. Is there maybe one technique you use for I want to think about it that you'd like to share with them?
Yeah. Okay, so there's going to be a few different fields here, and I'll share different ones. Like, let's say someone wants to get on my Diamond Mind program, and I say, are you on it? They say, no, yeah. And I say, well, you need to get on. They go, yeah, you know, I've been thinking about it, blah, blah, blah. I don't follow up, and I'll tell you why. I think that there are different ways and different brandings. Like, for example, for me, my Diamond Mind program, I feel that I'm giving such an incredible product that the moment, and I could be wrong. Hey, I could be wrong. I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just telling you guys how I do it. Then I'll show you how I do handle an objection in another field. When a person even questions me, or sometimes they go, well, what do I get out of it? In my mind, I just think, if you cannot tell by my free videos and the testimonials of people on Diamond Mind, then I can't even get in a conversation. I actually get almost like a throw-up feeling. Like, I don't want to teach that person. So in that case, the one option for me is, okay, watch this. There are so many other people, and I'm done talking to you. And I've actually sold it like that many times, where I'm just like, okay, whatever. I don't need to say anything. I move on, and they come back like, well, you know, I thought about it. I want to do it. Great. Now we can talk. In a field where I do handle objections all the time is in the field of relationships and pickup. When a man approaches a woman, if she's doing her job, you could say, she's going to reject his advances. Believe it or not, that's actually part of the nature of the game. So for me, first step is what I just said. Look, an objection is part of the whole sales process. I think it would be kind of weird if somebody just said, yes, yes, yes. In fact, I become suspicious when clients do that or students do that. They end up having, most of the time, being a little bit too crazy later. You know, I've seen that before. So I'm okay with somebody being like, oh, well, you know, I have a boyfriend, or right now I'm talking to my friend or whatever. Oh, great, here we go. Now we're in, right? Now we're playing. Let me now show you why I'm the right guy to talk to. So if I transfer that, because I haven't sold fitness in a while, I haven't sold martial arts in a while, there's other people that are doing that. But when I train them, it's this. Oh, you know, I was thinking about going to another gym. Okay, here we go. Now we're playing the game. Let's start. Now you're going to give me an opportunity to show you why we're 1,000 times better. I see an objection as an opportunity to demonstrate to the person in front of me my superiority. Superiority. God, here comes my Persianness. How do you say the word? Superiority? Superiority. How do you pronounce it? Being superior.
Superiority, I think. Superiority.
Superiority. Yeah, it's a tough word. it gives me an opportunity to demonstrate how I'm more superior when it comes to my communication, as I can't say the word, and my ability to handle subjects. You see, I believe that good communication sells. That's what sells, is being incredible at communication. I am such a believer of communication that I rated as number one on the list of life skills. Right behind breathing and eating is communication, because everything I accomplished seems to have that behind it. So when they object, remember that in their mind, they are not accustomed to you handling the objection as elegantly and as smoothly and as unpanicked as you're about to do it. Here comes the opportunity, my friends. She says to you, "I'm sorry, I haven't seen my friend for a long time. Can we just catch up and have a good night?" Right? A little rude. The answer she's about to get from you is going to make her stop and look at you and go, "Whoa, well, that was interesting. I don't want him to leave yet." So an objection for me, it's one of two things happens. Either the person buys it, great, let's move forward, or the objection gets me closer to selling to them. That's how I feel about it. And I am right, actually. This is exactly what it is. It's not like I'm fooling myself. Believe me that when they object and you handle the objection, you're now 1,000 times closer to having whatever you wanted with them. And I know this 1,000% fact through the field of seduction, and it works in every field, because it's the same human mind, it's the same ideas and principles of attraction, repulsion, wanting to invest in something and exchanging. So that's how I do it.
Awesome. So we have one caller who asked a question from North Carolina. Who do we have on the line?
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Matt Dempsey.
Matt, what's up, brother? What's your question?
Yeah, my question is, in sales, what would be a good rebuttal to, it's too much money, I can't afford it, the price is too high?
Arash, you want to take that one?
The price is too high? Is that what you're saying?
Let's say your diamond mine, Arash, whatever your price is, they're saying it's too high. I can't afford it right now. It's too high. They're saying I can't afford it.
It's
too high.
Yeah. Well, diamond mine is $97 a month. And let's say someone says it's too high.
Mm-hmm.
It's either A, truly too high, like the person is broke, and at that moment I have to recognize that I have the wrong prospect. Like if you were going to sell a Chanel purse to somebody who can't afford $100 shoes, that's the wrong person. They may really want that Chanel purse. They may sit there and talk to you for an hour about how beautiful it is and walk around with it, but when you look at their wallet, they can't afford it. That's not always the case, though. Most of the time, that's not the case. Most of the time, the person is walking into something knowing exactly how much it costs. So we're going to take the second part. They can't afford it, and they say they can't afford it, right? So this is the one you want to handle. So if someone says, I can't afford it, what they're actually saying is different. Let me tell you what they're saying, and this is what you have to understand. They're saying, I don't see the value in it. So that's your job, not their job. Your job is to show them the value of what you have. This comes it comes from the field of seduction. It's the man's job. It's his job when he walks out there to demonstrate to her his value. If she doesn't get it and she's not willing to exchange her time and her energy for that, then she just hasn't seen it. And that's his job. She's not supposed to walk around with extrasensory glasses looking for every value she sees. Your job in the art of mating is to demonstrate your value. Every bird will tell you this. Every sea lion will tell you this. Every bee and fish will tell you this. Right? So now if you're going to be selling something and someone says it costs too much, it just means, if they have the money, it means I haven't seen the value in it. Okay, so what you need to do is you need to go back, just like in Pick Up and Seduction, and you need to demonstrate your value again without being needy. And that's important. Not begging for it, but figuring out the smooth way to demonstrate the value of your product. When they see the value, the money will come into your hands. See, the value has to be more than the money they have. So if I have $100, I will never spend it on something worth $100 in my mind. Because if something's worth $100, I'd rather keep my $100. But if I spend $100 and my mind is worth more than $100, so I'm willing to exchange my money for the product. Your value must always be more than what the person is willing to give. It's not equal value. That's a mistake. It's one of the things I realized when I became wealthy, is one of the principles I changed. You have to give more value than what the person exchanges back with. It's also the same thing with pickup and seduction. She gives whatever, you give more value. And this becomes the exchange for a while. That's my answer for that.
Yeah, I completely agree with what Arash said, Matt. You know, he did give two scenarios. One where in qualifying them, you would find out they indeed can't afford it. But number two, if you do get that objection, it means somewhere in the beginning of your sales process, your initial conversations, your presentation, whatever it was, there was a missing link that if you're charging $100 for the product, they don't see it's worth more than $100. And until that scale is tipped in the favor of value versus what their investment is, then that's when you're going to get that objection. So from that standpoint, it's something was missed early on to cause that at the end. It's not so much about handling the objection right there at the end and tackling them. It's about tightening up your sales process and your presentation earlier in order to demonstrate enough value for them to make the decision easy. Because that's what I always tell people. You want to inject everything in your sales process, your presentation, to make the decision easy. We already live in a world where people are brought up to not make a decision, and it's cool to not make a decision, and oh, don't ever sign a contract, oh, don't ever buy from a salesman, they're all sleazy. All that is already working against you. So if throughout the whole process from A to Z, you set everything up correctly by demonstrating value, making them feel comfortable, educating them, you're enthusiastic, you're an expert, when it comes time to put the ink to the paper, it's easy. They'd almost feel like a fool not to buy the product.
Thanks, guys.
You're welcome. So we don't have any other questions, Arash, so if you don't have any other final plugs or anything, we'll end it.
Yeah, I can always plug. I'll plug again. You guys get on arashzapar.com and sign up for Diamond Mine, $97 a month, and it's going to change your life completely. And this whole podcast was brought about because of a program called Close the Deal, you know, and that's Brian, so I'm not going to say anything more about it, but I'll hand it over to you.
Yeah, well, thank you for being here, Arash. If any of you do want to sign up for Close the Deal, go ahead and send me a message on Facebook, email me, YouTube, you can find me, and we'll get you signed up. All right, so until next week.
Okay, buddy.
I'll see you.
Talk, bye.